All right, let's get down to business and unlock some of the deeper stuff in the Alena.
An inspector calls.
Sounds good to me.
We're taking a closer look at, well, how Priestley uses the whole idea of wealth to say something important.
Yeah, he really makes you think.
I mean, you've probably already studied the play, right?
Right.
But we're going to dig deeper, find those little gold nuggets, those quotes and analysis points that can really make a difference.
Exactly. It's like those little hidden details, the things that make Priestley such a genius.
I love that analogy, like a literary treasure hunt we're going on. So where do we even begin? Where's our first clue?
Well, Priestley, he kind of lays it all out right from the start.
Does he?
The setting itself. Remember the Burlings house?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Heavily comfortable, the stage directions say, but not cozy.
Yeah, that's always kind of stuck with me. It's like he's saying all this wealth. It doesn't actually equal happiness. There's more to it, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's like he's giving us these specific details on purpose. Those champagne glasses, the port, the cigar box even.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those aren't just random things he threw in there. It's a whole picture of how they live, a lifestyle most people in 1912 couldn't even imagine.
Oh, I see.
Priestley's really showing us that gap between the haves and the have-nots right there.
So it's not just about the money itself, but about the differences between those who have it and those who don't.
Right. And that clash, it's there from the very first scene.
Yeah, yeah. And that leads us to the characters, doesn't it? Each one's like a puzzle piece.
Yeah, you got it.
Remember we talked about Priestley creating these characters, these constructs, almost like in those old morality plays where each character represents an idea, like greed or charity.
That's a great comparison. So let's take Mr. Burling, the head of the family.
Mm.
Everything for him is about profit and loss, lower costs and higher prices. That's
his motto. Oh, yeah. Classic Burling. But it goes deeper than just business, right? Way deeper. It's like you're looking right into how he thinks. Profit over people, that's his whole philosophy. And it's that kind of thinking, driven by money and status, that Priestley wants us to really think about.
And we see how that thinking plays out, right, with Eva Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Burling wouldn't even budge on those wages.
Nope.
Leading to her being fired and, well, everything that follows.
It's like he calls it a heavy price, remember?
Mm.
Talking about how it would affect his business.
Right, right. But Priestley's using that word price in two ways, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Burling's focused on the money, but Priestley's hinting at the real cost, the cost that Eva pays.
He's making us see that you can't put a price on a human life.
Mm.
Burling's so blinded by his own world, he just doesn't see it.
And that blindness, it's a bit of a theme with the whole family, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Stuck in their wealthy bubble.
Totally. Think about Sheila at the beginning. She's so wrapped up in the whole engagement thing with Gerald. Excited about her ring, remember?
Oh, yeah. The ring was like the biggest deal, a symbol of her status, you know. I guess when you're that age, it's easy to get caught up in all the shiny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're surrounded by it.
Oh, for sure. But Priestley's showing us how focusing on stuff can actually get in the way of real happiness, real connections.
Right.
Sheila's happy about the ring at first, but then it becomes this reminder of what she did.
Like the ring changes from a symbol of joy to a symbol of her own part in Eva's tragedy.
And that's key to understanding Priestley's message. Real growth comes when you see how empty all that wealth is and start taking responsibility.
Well, that's a wake-up call, right?
Yeah.
We can all get blinded by wanting things, but we got to see the human side of our actions.
Exactly. And that brings us to Gerald. He's another piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
Like Mr. Burling, Gerald thinks money can fix everything.
Oh, yeah. He tries to rescue Eva with money, but it's not really about helping her, is it?
Not really. More about control and keeping up appearances. And Eric's the same, isn't he?
Yeah, they both think throwing money at the problem makes it go away. They don't get it. The reality of poverty, what people actually need.
Exactly. It's like they're trying to buy their way out of feeling guilty instead of actually changing.
Mm.
And then there's Mrs. Burling. She's a whole other story. She's like the poster child for how wealth can make you cold.
Oh, tell me about it. Remember when she turns Eva away from the charity?
Mm-hmm.
Brutal.
She says Eva doesn't deserve help. Blames her for everything. No empathy whatsoever.
It's like she's so far removed from reality, she can't even see Eva as a person.
And that's Priestley's point. He's showing how money can make you feel superior, totally disconnected from the people who are struggling.
It's like they're all trapped in this fancy cage, blind to the pain they've caused.
Yeah, and that's where the inspector comes in, right? He shakes things up, makes them face the music.
She's like a crack in that cage, letting the truth shine in. Like Priestley's voice, isn't he?
Yeah.
Challenging them, making them take responsibility. But how does he do it exactly? What are his tools?
Well, that's where things get really interesting, and that's where we'll pick up in the next part of our deep dive.
Sounds good to me.
All right, welcome back, detectives. Last time we were just about to dig into the inspector's methods.
Right, how he kind of breaks down that whole fancy world the Burlings have built for themselves.
Exactly. And he does it, you know, masterfully, using words and timing. Think about when he shows up right in the middle of their big dinner party.
Oh, yeah.
They're celebrating, clinking glasses, totally unaware of, well, everything going on outside their little bubble. And then, boom, the inspector's there.
It's such a great contrast. That gloomy, serious vibe he brings into their, heavily comfortable setting.
You got it. And his words, they're so carefully chosen. That line, public men, Mr. Burling, have responsibilities as well as privileges.
Yeah, that one's powerful.
It's like he's laying down the law, reminding them that just because they're rich and important, they can't just ignore their morals.
Makes you think, doesn't it? About our own responsibilities.
Exactly. And he doesn't stop there. One by one, he picks apart their alibis, showing how they're all connected to Eva Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about that photograph. He only shows it to one person at a time.
It's like a game, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's slowly reeling them in. So much tension keeps you guessing.
And that tension, it reflects what was going on in society back then. Remember, Priestley wrote this in 45, but it's set in 1912. Why do you think he chased that time?
That's a good question. Well, 1912, there was a lot going on. The Titanic had just sunk. The women's rights movement was growing. And war was on the horizon.
Exactly. Things were changing. People were starting to question the old ways, demanding more equality. And Priestley's using that historical backdrop to really drive his point home.
So he's saying, like, wake up. The world's changing. We can't just keep holding on to those old, greedy, selfish values. We need to be better, more compassionate, more responsible.
Right on. And that's what the inspector represents, that new way of thinking. Remember that line, we don't live alone. We are members of one body. We are responsible for each other.
Oh, man. That one gets me every time.
It's like he's blowing their whole me first world apart, saying, hey, we're all in this together.
It's like he's holding a mirror up to society, showing us what happens when we don't care about each other.
You got it. But the Burlings, they don't really get it, do they? They try to sweep it all under the rug, go back to their comfortable lives.
Yep. They care more about what people think of them than they do about, well, the truth. And then that ending, the phone rings.
Another inspector's coming. They realize they can't escape what they've done.
It's like they're stuck, going to make the same mistakes all over again.
And that's what makes Priestley's message so powerful, so important. He's not just telling a story. He's warning us. Be complacent, ignore your responsibility to others, and, well, you're going to face the consequences.
Yeah, it's a message that still matters today, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So we've seen how the inspector shakes things up, how he uses his words to expose the truth, and how the historical context adds another layer to it all.
Right.
But what about the characters themselves? How do they fit into all this?
Yeah, good point. They're more than just, you know, good guys and bad guys, right?
Right. And that's a question we'll get into in the next part of our deep dive.
You know, we've talked about the setting, the inspector, the historical stuff, but there's something I've been wondering about.
What's that?
Priestley. He shows us how bad things can get when wealth and power run wild. But does he give us any answers?
Good question. I think that's part of what makes Priestley so brilliant.
What is it?
He doesn't give us a simple solution. He wants us to figure it out for ourselves.
So it's like she gives us the puzzle pieces. And we have to put them together.
Exactly. Remember how we were talking about those constructs, those characters, each representing different ideas? Each one, in a way, shows us a possible way forward. Different ways to react to what the inspector says.
Oh, I see. So it's not about saying this character's good, that one's bad. It's about what they represent, what they choose to do.
Right. Like Sheila. At the start, she's all about appearances, the fancy stuff. But then something changes.
Yeah, yeah.
She really seems to get it, how much her actions matter, that things need to change.
She's like the only one who really sees it.
She does. She owns up to her mistakes, says she's sorry, and wants to make things right. She shows us that even people born into privilege can break free from that cycle of greed.
So Sheila represents taking responsibility,
yeah.
Even when it's hard.
Exactly. And then Eric, he's another interesting one, starts off kind of immature, irresponsible, but he changes too. Admits his mistakes, accepts what he has to do.
He realizes all that money and status, it doesn't protect him from the consequences.
Right. And that's important. Both Sheila and Eric, they show that we can learn from our mistakes, choose a different path. Priestley believed in that, the power of our own conscience to guide us.
But what about Mr. and Mrs. Burling? They don't seem to change much at all.
Well, they show us how tough it can be to change, right? How deep-rooted those social attitudes are. They represent those obstacles to a fairer, kinder world. But even their stubbornness, it has a purpose.
Does it?
It does. Makes us realize that change is hard work. It means challenging what we believe, facing things that make us uncomfortable.
So in a way, they represent that resistance to change, the stuff we got to overcome.
Exactly. And by showing us how hard they resist, Priestley's saying, look, if we don't make a conscious effort, if we just stick to those old selfish ways, we're going to keep making the same mistakes. It takes all of us working together. One or two people changing, it's not enough.
You need a whole shift in how we think, how we treat each other.
Right. And that brings us back to what the inspector says at the end, those lines about responsibility, about how connected we all are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's not just talking to the Burlings. He's talking to all of us, making us think about how our choices affect others.
Reminding us that we have to build a better world, a world where we take care of each other.
Exactly. And that's why an inspector calls, it still speaks to us today. It's a call to action, not just a story.
So even though Priestley doesn't hand us a solution, he does give us hope. Shows us that change is possible if we take responsibility, work together, and face those hard truths.
Exactly. That's something worth remembering, both in the play and in our own lives. We can all make a difference.
Well, this deep dive has been incredible. We've uncovered so much, those hidden meanings in the stage directions, how the characters represent different ideas, and how history plays a part in it all.
It's been a pleasure talking about all this with you. Hopefully it's given you some new ways to think about an inspector calls and about these big ideas, wealth, responsibility, and changing the world for the better.
To all our listeners out there, keep asking questions, keep exploring, and keep speaking up for a world that's more like the one Priestley imagined.
We're all in this together. We are responsible for each other, remember?
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep those minds sharp and those hearts open.
See ya.